This is the Agribusiness Report. I'm Tony St. James. Today, our special guest is Barry Evans. Barry is a producer from Swisher County and is set to join us, Swisher County, Texas, set to join us here in just a few moments. Jenny Moffitt is Undersecretary for Marketing and Regulatory Programs at USDA, talks about the intent of a new USDA program.
It's focused on domestic organic supply chains, specific domestic organic supply chains that have been challenging at some point. They're under-resourced or they haven't had as much growth in the organic sector domestically. And so that is things like organic grains and livestock feed, organic fibers, organic legumes and other rotational crops so that we can have more organic field crops. And then also sectors that have been really challenged in various ways, including organic dairy.
It's the Agribusiness Report. I'm Tony St. James. We're joined today by Barry Evans. Barry is a producer from Swisher County, Texas. And Barry, welcome back to the show.
Thank you, Tony. Good to be on.
Well, I was just mentioning this to you. I guess it's been a week and a half, almost 2 weeks now, as I came through Swisher County and really got to take the more scenic view of Swisher County because traffic was basically bumper to bumper, standstill, one lane of a service road on the interstate, and it was barely open at that. And just showing us how much rain came through the area just within the past 2 weeks, right?
It has been crazy. We don't usually have a lot of traffic problems in Swisher County. It's not something that we want, but we are so grateful for the rain. But where that rain was South Tule Creek. The good thing about it is it all runs into Lake McKenzie, and we know how much Lake McKenzie needs the water. And our Playa Lakes are as full as I've ever seen them. It is really something to see. You know, a few months ago, we were doing interviews and talking about the drought, and in 3-4 weeks' time, now we're talking about how full our lakes are and the floodings, which it's a welcome change.
It is a welcome change, but it is kind of difficult when this happens right at planting time, or vice versa, if it happens and you go from dry conditions to really wet conditions at harvest time, that's probably even more difficult. But as we talk about planting time, we had some planting deadlines for cotton in the Texas Panhandle. We had some in that area between Amarillo and Lubbock, and then another date south of there. But how does an event like this affect producers and their ability to get in and get planted what they had planned?
Well, the effect on producers is it just changes our plan so much. This year, even in late April and early May is when I'll typically start planting cotton. And even though we were so dry then, it was really cool. And I didn't start planting cotton until about the 6th or 7th of May, which is a little late for me. And a lot of people didn't even start then because we were so dry and we just didn't know what to do. So I was fortunate. I got all my cotton in the county. I don't know if half the cotton got planted that was expected to. And our final plant date is the last day of May, so we are quite a bit past that now. So I think we'll see a lot of grain sorghum. A few people are talking corn of going in. My big decision now to make is where I have lost a part of a field or maybe one field is, do I go in and try to stub in some cotton and try to keep that field, or do I need to go ahead and fail it, maybe plant a sorghum or save it out for wheat? So trying to make that decision, especially where we lost partial fields, which there's a lot of that, you know, just some hail come across or bottom end flooded out. And then there's the cold weather, just has some sick cotton. So what do we do from here? That's the real question I'm dealing with now.
And we're also doing this when the price is a lot different than, well, where we were a year ago, year and a half ago. Basically, we've seen the price erode down to around 80 cents, 75 cents. Does that make it a challenge to pencil that out?
the prices do make it a challenge. Our cost of production has gone up so much. Our capital expenses have just really accelerated. Utilities expenses have gone up, even though, you know, like diesel's coming down. We're also seeing chemical prices are starting to come back down some, which gives us some relief. But we still, you know, everything has just shifted upwards on our cost structure, and trying to grow 75, 80 cent cotton now is not overly encouraging. So that's one of the reasons people didn't plant in early May. You know, people were a little discouraged over the price and waited to see what was happening. And now we're just kind of in limbo, because of those prices. You know, it's with our input costs where they're at, it just doesn't work at this level. So we're really, really scratching our head wondering what to do.
Barry, you've been involved in different organizations, producer, grower type organizations, and have had the opportunity to really establish some relationships with others across the Cotton Belt and across Texas. When you talk to any of the others, maybe by email or Twitter, or however, what are you hearing from producers in other parts of either the Cotton Belt or other parts of the country?
The common denominator among, it seems like, all commodity groups, even like the soybean and national corn people that we don't see as much down here, is our we mentioned our cost structure just being so much higher than it was, and our safety net, especially in the PLC and ARC programs, are way too low for the cost of everything right now. And there's just such a great concern, you know, if we can move those base levels up, you know, to a more workable level. And all the commodity groups seem to be somewhat on board of doing that. The hard thing is to do that, it takes a lot of money, and can we get that in the Farm Bill to get that done? We have some really good allies in the Farm Bill, and Congressman Arrington being the chair of the Budget Committee, and I think he really understands that. Our leadership on the House and Senate Ag Committee on both the Republican and Democrat side, they get it also. So we've got some good leadership to look at that. So hopefully we can get those prices on PLC and ARC, you know, adjusted up to where they need to be.
And this is all happening while another debate is starting or really gaining steam now in Washington, D.C., and that's over the debt. And so really concerns about where that money's being invested, how it's being invested. I want to throw another little kink in here as well. There's been some ad hoc assistance over the last 3-4 years or so. How has that been able to really help, if you will, keep the boat afloat?
The ad hoc disasters that we've had have been extremely beneficial. And one thing that the ad hoc disasters show is that the Farm Bill funding is inadequate, and we've had to come in with ad hocs to supplement it. And it just exemplifies how inadequate the prices are in the Farm Bill. So if we can take some of that money that we've been spending on ad hoc disasters and get it in the Farm Bill, maybe to help improve crop insurance, help improve our safety net, I think it'd be good for the government, because we wouldn't have these ad hoc spending that just comes out of wherever. You know, it could be planned and budgeted, and we would know. And then from the farmer's perspective, we don't have to count on an ad hoc, because you can't count on it. We would have something we could count on every year, and we could really, really help our planning and just create a lot of stability for our agriculture.
You talk about that planning, and I just wonder about, I'm sure there are some producers who don't deal with bankers or lenders, but most that I talk to do, and you've got to have a plan when you go through. And talking to the ag lenders, the ad hoc is great, but it's not something you can actually book and you can plan on. So I guess the question here is, would that be beneficial for all parties involved, and even be beneficial for rural communities?
That's a really a good point, Tony. I think if we could get away from the ad hoc and get that disaster money in the Farm Bill, it would create stability. It'd make the lenders, you know, just feel so much more secure about where the borrowers are. I think your point about the rural communities would be good. You know, you just can be able to plan and have some more sure feeling about where we are instead of just counting on this ad hoc from year to year.
Well, that all comes back to making your voice heard and telling your story. I know you've had the opportunity to do that in Washington, D.C., and actually you're part of a group that brings agribusiness and producers together, Southwest Council of Agribusiness. Can you tell us more about it?
You bet. I'm really pleased with what Southwest Council of Agribusiness is doing. They bring together all the commodity groups. You know, I've been involved with cotton and grain sorghum through the years, which does just tremendous work. And the Southwest Council works to bring, you know, all the groups together, sorghum, cotton, rice, corn, peanuts, and then also including like the bankers, implement dealers, a lot of car dealers. We just have a lot of businesses that are involved that know how important agriculture is throughout the Southwest and throughout the region. You know, it's just our lifeblood. And it's so important, not just us, it's important to the country. And so the Southwest Agribusiness Council brings that together and tells that story all in concert with the other ag groups and works to build a coalition. And whenever you have that coalition, go to Washington, and you have not just the ag groups, you have all the ag groups together, then you have the bankers, the implement dealers saying, this is important, this is what we needed. It really creates a very strong organization.
Well, again, the name of the organization is the Southwest Council of Agribusiness, and you can find them online as well. Barry, as we leave here, there are a lot of challenges, but would you say right now that the blessing of rain is maybe not a challenge that we have? It's more of a blessing at this point?
Tony, we've been through so many dry years, and you know, I've been here for all my life, and I'm getting a few gray hairs now, and we're too dry way more often than we're too wet. So whenever we're wet, we count it as a blessing because we know it won't stay this way forever. And even though it's a little inconvenient and a little frustrating, we're so grateful for the rain. And if we don't have rain, we can't grow anything. If we have rain, at least we have hope and a future, even though it might be a little discouraging and it changes our plans. It's still good.
Barry Evans is a producer from Swisher County, Texas, and he joins us today on the Agribusiness Report.
Texas Corn Producers serves the state's corn farmers through both the Corn Board and the Association. The board is putting your checkoff dollars to work in research, promotion, and education to ensure producer profitability and market expansion. The member-supported association is the farmer's advocate in Austin and Washington, D.C. on issues from the Farm Bill, water and property rights, and more. Join the Texas Corn Producers Association today and get the latest news and information about Texas Corn Producers' efforts online at www.texascorn.org.
Life doesn't come with guarantees, but working with Rob Seco comes pretty close. Our strategic investments in the seed we offer are designed to directly improve your bottom line. From full trait platforms, breeding and development, to field-by-field planning and seed-driven crop inputs, with Rob Seco, you have precisely what you need to improve plant performance and increase yield. Every farm, every crop, and every acre. Learn more at robseco.com.
Welcome back. It's the Agribusiness Report. Our special guest today, Barry Evans, a Swisher County, Texas producer.
When it comes to farming in dry conditions, the formula for success is simple. Put strong in, get strong out. That's why growers looking to improve yield potential while protecting their bottom line rely on dry, tough, dry land cotton varieties from Delta Pine. Bred, tested, and made tough to handle the toughest growing conditions. Stay strong this season. Plant dry, tough, dry land cotton varieties from Delta Pine. Always read and follow IRM where applicable, grain marketing and all other stewardship practices and pesticide label directions.
Let's talk about cotton research. Cotton Incorporated funds more than 400 ag research projects every year. They study cotton, engineering, economic development, entomology, agronomy, pathology, variety selection, expanded cotton seed uses. And that's just the start. You grow the cotton, the Cotton Research and Promotion Program helps grow the value. Learn more at cottonboard.org.
It's the Agribusiness Report. Learn more about the Southwest Council of Agribusiness online, southwest-agribusiness.com. rob-council.org.
Life doesn't come with guarantees, but working with Rob Seco comes pretty close. Our strategic investments in the seed we offer are designed to directly improve your bottom line. From full trait platforms, breeding and development, to field-by-field planning and seed-driven crop inputs, with Rob Seco, you have precisely what you need to improve plant performance and increase yield. Every farm, every crop, and every acre. Learn more at robseco.com.
Success is attained by those who approach problems with a plan and a purpose. As an advocate for High Plains cotton growers since 1956, Plains Cotton Growers has been tackling the tough issues facing cotton growers through beneficial legislative and regulatory changes. An important part of PCG's success is through close working relationships with congressional representatives and federal regulatory staff, allowing cotton growers more time to devote to farming operations. From the halls of Congress to the dusty turnroads of the High Plains, cotton producers depend on Plains Cotton Growers.
It's the Agribusiness Report.
The winter wheat harvest is underway.
So it won't be long until we're done with this crop. For some producers, that's not such a bad thing because it has been a very, very difficult season.
USDA meteorologist Brad Rippey says about 4% of the wheat has been cut so far, working south to north, of course. And when it comes to the condition this week of the crop,
we've actually pulled ahead of last year, which is not saying much. Last year's crop at this time was just 30% good to excellent. And 40% very poor to poor.
This week, the crop rated 36% good to excellent, 34% poor to very poor. And so
we are seeing some signs of improvement, at least in areas where the crop was immature when those May rains hit.
Improvements in Kansas.
Kansas coming in this week, 65% very poor to poor. Last week, that number was 69%. Nebraska, 44% very poor to poor.
Last week, that crop was 51% poor to very poor. Gary Crawford, Washington.